Does anybody know what our insurance deductible is here at church? Because if I do a backflip on this stage, I'm taking out about $8,000 worth of stuff. I'm just going to go ahead, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you that's not a good idea at all. But I do want to welcome everybody out Sunday morning. I will not do a backflip, I promise. It would be horrific. But we are in a series called Reflections, and we are talking about what it looks like to kind of know who we are. Pastor Kel talked last week about our self-destructive obsession that we have with ourself. And he talked about that there's really good news is that in the middle of exactly who you are, in the middle of exactly what your mess is, Jesus is right there, can and will be part of the fix. And that we have access to the very thing that we want, and that's in this life, it's help. That's what we want. We don't want to be in this battle alone. And Jesus has sent a helper, a Holy Spirit. He said last week, he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself, just thinking of yourself less. Hopefully that was a part of your week last week. So today we want to talk about how to live in a really self-focused world, which is really what's happening in our culture today. And to kind of push beyond that just a little bit. So we want to focus on one word today, and that word is truth, okay? Hopefully this word will stick with you this week, and you will really, really ponder this a lot this week as you go through this week. Not what's going on around us, but simply truth, okay? The primary way that we root out the lies around us is by knowing the truth. Be honest, don't lie. Raise your hand if you lied last week. Okay, raise them high. How about you stand up if you lied last week? That way we can really tell who's, okay. All right, we got one honest person here. I'm going to tell you a story that I've told from the stage several times. So if you know me, you know this story. But if you do not know me, you may not know this story. So I'm going to go ahead and say it again. But can you ever remember as a kid telling a lie, know you told it, and you got caught? Your teacher caught you, your parent caught you, somebody caught you, and you had to go back and apologize. Raise your hand if that happened to you. Or you know without a doubt, okay? All right, you got caught in a lie, you had to go back and tell the truth. I personally did. I think y'all know this. Like I said, I've said this story a couple times. But there was a little old lady that we would rake leaves for. And I loved her, but did not like her, okay? So we would go over there and volunteer our time, and she was harsh. She insisted that we do this thing right, okay? And I know it was in the summer because it was smoking hot. We were mad. We were done raking leaves. We weren't done, but we were done. So I remember walking right up to that door, knocking on that door. This little old lady comes to the door, and I just say, hey, we got a pizza party to go to. We're out of here. I'm sorry. We can't finish today. And I take my five buddies with me, and we walk down that gravel road, and we turn right on Highway 182, and we turn left on Feltman, and we walked all the way back to Beaver Dam Subdivision. And the longer we walked, the more guilty I felt. And let me tell you something, that lie stuck with me, and it stuck with me, and it stuck with me. I could not get that lie out of my spirit. So finally, I had to do what we should do. I had to walk back down Feltman Road. I had to turn right on 182. I had to turn left into her gravel driveway, go to her front door, and tell that little lady I was sorry for lying to her. It was in my soul. It was in my spirit. I could not be okay with it. Isn't it crazy that as we're kids, right? When we're kids, this is so true. I'm going to show it to you that you just kind of learn to lie. You know what? It's easier, right? It's easier to lie than it is to tell the truth. Jimmy Kimmel and his buddy Guerrero, the truth fairy. Well, let's just watch it.
What's your name?
Blake.
Okay, very good. How old are you, Blake?
7 years old.
7 years old. What grade are you in?
First grade.
Do you like school?
Yeah.
You like school?
No.
No. Okay. What's 8 plus 8?
16.
14. Have you ever peed in the swimming pool? A little bit? Hold on, let me ask the truth fairy. Truth fairy, have you ever peed in the swimming pool?
Yes.
You? Yes. I think we all have. What's the problem with?
Once I was playing on the playground, this guy was being really mean to me, so I don't like that guy. His name's Riley.
Riley, okay, Riley. All right. Anybody else?
No.
Nobody else? Do you secretly love Riley?
No.
A little bit?
Just a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, sometimes that happens when boys will tease girls at school and they're mean to them. Do you have any pets at home?
Yeah, I do.
What do you have?
A sheep and a hippo.
You have a sheep and a hippo? Something went crazy here. Is this a real hippo?
Yeah.
Is this a stuffed hippo?
No, it's pretend.
It's a pretend hippo. Okay. Do you ever pick your nose?
No. Yes, I did.
You did. Yeah. Sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And then do you ever eat it?
No. Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Okay, good. All right. Well, thank you very much, Aaron.
At a young age, we can really pick up the habit of lying. It's not hard. It's actually an easy way for us to avoid truth, okay? I've done it. I'll be very confident that you've done it. And as we become adults and as we struggle with what truth is, the more and more we have to be able to understand what truth is. If you want to turn and you want to read with us today, we're going to be mainly reading out of John 8. We're going to be reading out of there a bunch. We'll be jumping around a little bit. But in John 8, Jesus begins a conversation with a group of religious leaders. And this was kind of a situation where, once again, the culture had sabotaged the truth with a bunch of lies. How many believe that that's the truth? Can you turn on cable news? Do you trust anything that you read today? It's almost nowhere, do you? It is almost cannot trust anything as the truth today. Our culture is sabotaged by lies. In John 8, he begins a conversation with a group of religious leaders on that very subject. John 8:31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" How many of you guys are living free today? Well, that's not a trick question. Okay? How many of you guys are living free today? Jesus said, look at the key word here. John 8:31, he says, "If you continue in my word." If. Key word there. If you continue in my word, and if you remain faithful, that'd be another way to say it. If you remain faithful to my teaching, so it all hinges on that one word, if. If you remain faithful to my teachings. In other words, you cannot distance yourself from the teachings of Jesus and then call yourself a follower of Jesus. You cannot do it. You know, there's a lot of people who love to say, you know, well, I love to talk about heaven because that's the awesome part of the Bible, right? And will not talk about hell. Will not talk about the truth of the fact that Jesus is, cannot wait to see us in heaven, and the reality that our neighborhoods that we live in are going to suffer judgment. The neighborhoods that we live in, okay? We pick and we choose. We pick and we choose. If something that is said today offends you, that's exactly what truth does, okay? Truth definitely has a tendency to offend you. Do you ever get a little bit uncomfortable reading the Bible? You're like, Jesus, like, stop smacking me. Like, I get it. I hear what you're saying, okay? Me and Pastor Kel would be in agreement for one thing for sure. The number one thing that we can do, the number one thing that Pastor Kel can do is to get up here and to tell you the truth. Tell you that you need Jesus. Tell you that the truth matters. You cannot separate the truth from your life and be okay with it. As Pastor Kel goes on and he continues to preach to us, he's going to offend some people. And that's awesome because that's what the truth does. The truth offends. But someone who isn't a follower of Jesus, and this is what we see a lot, their foundation is garbage, okay? And we see this a lot in arguments as we go back and forth. Social media, cable news, you see so much stuff where there is no foundation for people today. But this isn't new. In fact, this is what he's talking about. When Paul writes to a young leader named Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy 4, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I want you to write this down, if you have something to write this down, y'all. I want y'all to, this I have chewed on for a couple days straight, and I love this. Our understanding of Jesus cannot be disconnected from the understanding of this word, okay? Our understanding of Jesus cannot be disconnected from our understanding of the Bible, okay? This is truth. If you haven't read the truth, where do you think our foundation is going to be? Okay? Our understanding of Jesus cannot be disconnected from our understanding of the Bible. It is impossible to know Jesus apart from this book. God intended and designed it that way. There's two kinds of faith we're going to talk about real quick, okay? There's a faith called experiential faith, which is when you experience, and I hope that everybody in here has, and if you haven't, then you are missing out. But an experiential faith is when the love of God affects you in a really profound way, right? And you're like, yes, that is, I feel the love of Jesus. I feel like he came in and he cleaned my soul and he washed my soul. That's an experiential faith. But what we're talking about today a little bit more is what we call an evidential faith, okay? So the experiential faith that Jesus comes in, that is never forsake that. That is awesome. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about evidential faith. What that is that is strengthening your experience with Jesus. It's strengthening it by adding objective truth or evidence, okay? Evidence in your life of the truth, okay? Evidence in your life. I think many Christians today, maybe this is where you find yourself this morning, maybe not, but many Christians today die. You know why they die? Because their story goes dead. Do you think this is a dead book? This is not a dead book. This book is alive, just like our life should be. And when you turn the pages and you read and understand the truth, you will have new life. If you don't have new life, maybe you're not seeking the truth. Maybe I'm not seeking the truth. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they will die because they reject the truth. I love this saying by C.S. Lewis. It says this: Christianity, if false, is of no importance. But if it's true, it is of infinite importance. And then the last line, the only thing that it cannot be is moderately important. And man, don't we all kind of sometimes just need a kick a little bit with that? Moderately important cannot be moderately important. I love that saying. I think that if you're of a clear and reasonable mind this morning, I think you would agree with me on this statement. It is important to know why you believe what you believe. It is important to know why you believe what you believe. What is truth and what is lie? I could give you 10 reasons why I love Twyla. I could give you 10 reasons why I'm a Christian. I'm going to give you two today, okay? I'm a Christian because it's true. Because it's true. It is true that there was a Bethlehem, there was a Nazareth, there was a cross, there was a birth, there was a tomb, And this is what I like the best right here, y'all. Jesus backed up his claim about who he was with what he did. Put that in your car this week. Jesus backed up his claim about who he was. Can you back up your claim about who you are with what you do? Man, that is strong. That'll go straight to your heart. Do you know the truth? There was people who saw what he did. There was the resurrection. There was blind people. There was walking on water. His ministry was alive. It was full of life. It was built on truth. They wrote it down so we could experience them. One of them was John. John was a blue-collar guy, fourth grade education. Not sure how they know that. But the Greek language that he writes in kind of shows this. He writes real simple. And he says in John 21:25, this is what he said. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Pretty simple. There was another one from Luke. Luke was a white collar. He was a medical doctor, more of an Ivy League kind of guy. And his Greek shows that. It's much more elaborate. In Luke 1, it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all the things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Going forward, the next 10 years in our culture, leading your homes, leading your work environments, this becomes as critical as there is in the church. That thou mightest know the certainty. What's another name for certainty? It's the truth. That thou mightest know the truth of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Do you know that there are more copies of the early New Testament than there is of the U.S. Constitution? Which one do you think is more criticized? Nobody doubts who wrote the U.S. Constitution. But every excuse in the world can be made of why this book is no longer the truth. It's infiltrated our churches. It's infiltrated our culture. And we have to understand with certainty the things wherein thou hast been instructed. The second reason I'm a Christian is because Jesus changed my life. He absolutely changed my life. There's a story, I'm sure you maybe have heard this story before, but there's a story of an old man, and he's walking down a road with his dog, and there's this young guy comes flying around. They're on a dirt road. This young guy comes flying around, hits both the man and the dog, knocks him into the ditch. The man's in the hospital for about 3 months. Once he gets out of the hospital, he's hurt pretty bad, but once he gets out of the hospital, he sues this young man, and they're in court. And the young man hired this really, really, aggressive lawyer. The lawyer's up. The old man's getting questioned. The lawyer says, "Hey, did you not say at the scene that you were fine?" And the old man said, "Well, I was walking down the road with my dog." And he said, "No, that's not what I asked you." He said, "I asked you, did you not say you were fine?" And the man said, "Well, I was walking down the road with my dog." And the guy said, "No." He turned to the judge and said, "Make him answer the question." The judge said, "Well, hold on, let the guy speak." He said, "Well, I was walking down the road with my dog, and the guy came around the curve and hit both of us. I was in the ditch. My dog was in the middle of the road." He said, "The young man came back, went and looked at the dog, seeing he was mortally injured, went back and got a pistol and shot the dog. Turned to the older gentleman and said, 'How are you?' He said, 'I'm fine.' He said, 'Don't shoot.'" You see, if I'm a follower of Jesus, it's because I don't have to pretend. You don't have to fake it, okay? Even if you're an absolute mess, Jesus wants to be right in the middle of that. And that's what truth is. right in the middle of your mess. He doesn't hold it against me. He does not hold it against me. He just wants me seeking the truth. Has Jesus changed every part of your life? Every part of your life? And don't you want everyone to experience that? Isn't that what we're called to do? Peter says that if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. How many people feel confident enough? We've read the truth. We know it. It's a part of who we are. Do you have the evidence you need to say, that is why I believe the way I believe? You know that you don't have to dislike the people you disagree with? Well, that's a huge culture no-no. You don't have to dislike the people you disagree with. It's a choice. It's a mature choice that not everybody is willing to make. Do you know that Jesus is getting ready to die for the people who disagree with him? How many times are we hateful? I'm going to read from John 8:31. Read the first couple of verses there, John 8:31-33. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If what? If you continue in my word. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him. So they answered Jesus, and they said, well, you know, we are Abraham's seed and was never in bondage to any man. Why would you say you shall be made free? This is cool because Jesus is like, lie. Buzzer goes off. We are Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Why would you lie to Jesus? That was just not it. He called it. He noted it. He knew it, and he called it out. They were enslaved. If you know anything about Abraham, they were enslaved to the Egyptians. They were enslaved to the Syrians. They were enslaved to the Babylonians. And even at the time, they were living under an iron fist rule of the Romans. So the fact that they were never in bondage to any man was totally a lie. Jesus knew it, and he went there willingly. This is what Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 70 times in the Gospels, Jesus says, I'll tell you the truth. 70 times Jesus says that. I'll tell you the truth. Are we willing to do it? And then they answered him. We are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Can you imagine if Jesus said that to us? Wow. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. He's just calling them out on it. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. If you were followers of Jesus, you would do the work of Jesus. Is that what we're doing? Is that what you're doing? Is that what I'm doing? Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said, then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words, because you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Anybody got called any names recently for standing up for the truth? I firmly believe that where our culture is headed with what's coming in the next 10 to 20 years, and we're going to see, I think, another major culture shift in America, it is the church's job and responsibility, I believe, to stand solely on truth and be able to weed out the lies. Now, that is a very, very, very difficult thing to do, especially when we're getting criticized and we're getting called names. I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't been called anything for your stance in Jesus, okay, there is coming a time, and I believe it's going to be in our life, where it's going to be harder and harder to stand up for Jesus in our culture. I think our freedoms are going to continuously be under attack. But it doesn't matter. This page, this book, these pages are alive, and so should your life. We are representatives of the truth to the best of our abilities. Hopefully you haven't given up on that. Hopefully last week wasn't a week where you just said, you know what, I ain't even trying this week, right? Made it through a Friday the 13th. Was kind of a rough one, right? Pastor Kel comes up here and he continues to speak the truth. There will be things said about him. When people call you names, understand that the person is not the enemy. And number two, walk away. Jesus in John 8:59, he said, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is an interesting photo. Let's put up the photo of President Bush. Do y'all remember this? Y'all remember when this happened? That's a pretty interesting two people, right? They were at a Dallas, I'm pretty sure it was a Cowboys game. And they were sitting together and they were talking. And do you know how much ado was made about this photo? Who remembers that? Does anybody remember that? They decided to defend each other. Pretty opposite people, maybe not as much as they used to be, but they decided to defend each other. That's what love does. Love sees past disagreements. Remember that Jesus died for the people who were getting ready to die, who were calling him names, who were telling him awful stuff. That's who Jesus just went and died for. And here's a fact about our culture. In our culture today, feelings are more important than facts. And we don't like that, but it's reality today. Well, almost every social media outlet is built on, what, 15 seconds, 30 seconds? Quick emotional responses. Our culture today, feelings are more important than facts. There's a book on the New York Times bestseller list. It's called Conversations with God. And this is a book where the author claims to have conversations with God. Totally contradicts what God says in his word. But here's an excerpt from the book. Here's what they do. They have a conversation and the reader is supposed to decide. And here's one of those conversations. God says to the author, God, I can't tell you my truth until you stop telling me yours. The author says, but my truth about God comes from you. But God says, who said so? The author said, others. God said, what others? The author says, ministers, rabbis, priests, preachers, the Bible. Supposedly God says, well, those none of those are authoritative sources. The author is, they aren't. God says, no. The author says, well, what is? God says, listen to your feelings, okay? Listen to your experiences. Listen to your highest thoughts. Whatever one of those teach you, that trumps anything you have read in this book or that you've been taught at home. Is that dangerous? Undescribably dangerous. It's a culture where truth is not present. Romans 1:25. Well, here's a saying first. It says, G.K. Chesterton says, the first effect of not believing God is to start believing anything. Okay? The first effect of not believing in God is to start believing anything. Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator? Who is blessed forever? Amen. Beloved, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world. Do you know that most universities were created to guide young people in a Christian setting? Do you know that the motto of Oxford University is, the Lord is my light? It's on a lot of their buildings. Couldn't be further from the truth. Mottos and missions don't always align. We'll talk about another book. This is an excerpt from a book called Finding God at Harvard, and this is intellectual people, really smart, sophisticated people. And this is a book by Kelly Monroe, and she goes through a journey of thinking smart Christians in more of the academic role. And in this book, she describes a conversation that she had with a medical doctor. And it goes like this. So they're debating whether morality has a role in medical sciences, right? Does morality have a role in medical sciences? And the medical doctor, to her credit, said she did not believe in an absolute standard for right or wrong. The conversation goes on, and she asked this doctor, she said, do you think torturing babies for fun is ever right or wrong? And the doctor said, well, I wouldn't want them to do that to my baby, right? She said, well, I think you missed the point of the question. Was there any time in the history of the world where torturing babies for fun would be justified? Is it objectively wrong, or is it a matter of opinion, right? The doctor said, she looked at her and she said, people should be allowed to decide for themselves. Don't tell me what to believe. I'll just tell you my truth when it comes to me. She goes on in the book and she makes a really cool observation. She says, I realized that I would never want this doctor as a woman on a jury. I would never want her as a social worker. I would never want her as an employee in a bank, a teacher, a medical practitioner, or in any branch of law enforcement, or in any position of public trust. Sadly, this woman's view of ethics is repeated time after time after time at every level of society. In reality, if she was awake in the middle of the night and her next door neighbor was torturing their child and she heard that scream, she would surely be horrified at the barbarism of that act, and she would immediately rise, and that would have to come up in her. But in a conversation, was unable to agree that this scenario was actually immoral. How is that possible? But it's around us. In Rome, there's a church called the Church of Immaculate Conception. And it's one of the most unique religious structures ever built on the face of the earth. And below it, in the basement there, as it was being constructed, they used human bones. They used skulls, clavicles, femurs, and they adorned the walls and the archways, windowsills. And it has this very morbid feeling to it. It's in Rome. But they did it for a reason, right? There's a motto on the wall. It's written in Latin, but in English it goes like this. It says, as you are, These are the bones speaking. As you are, we once were. As we are, someday you will be. Someday you will be. We want our life and our legacy to be alive and built on truth. Alive and built on truth. The purpose of that is to draw your attention to the fact that one day you will face death. And in that reality, there's a greater point. And that is, if Jesus is right, there's no lie that you've been told that can hold you hostage. That's the good news. There is no lie that you've been told that can hold you hostage. Philippians 2, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights of the world." Be kind. Be kind. But live in truth. And sometimes that may mean you don't have to be kind. But live in truth. Know truth. It's more important today than it was 20 years ago. I don't know if that's true or not, because it was important 20 years ago. But I'm just saying, in our culture today, truth is more distorted than it's ever, ever, ever been. There's an example in the Bible. It's let's put it this way. Let's read Philippians 2:14. It says, "No, I'm sorry. I just read that one." Bring up Philippians. Go back to 14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." People are not reading this book. People do not have foundations of truth. There's a story of two pastors that were going to a friend's house, or it was actually one of their students who was getting ready to get ordained. And they traveled out of state. They went to this guy's ordination, and the service was that night, but there was a group of them that wanted to go out to supper before. And there's about 19 of them in the group, and the two preachers that came were a little concerned that they weren't going to get supper done and be able to actually make the church service. So they go to this Amish restaurant, and they walk up to this guy, and there's an Amish man sitting there. He's at the stand there taking names. And it says right on the stand, it says, "Do not put in your name until all your party members are here." So they walk up to this Amish guy, and he said he knew instantly he was in a dilemma, because he didn't want to be late, and he knew they were coming. They weren't far away. They were coming. So he walked up to the Amish man that was standing there, and the Amish man asked him, "How many is in your party?" He said, 19. He said, "Okay." And the Amish man asked him, he said, is everybody here?" And the preacher looked at him and said, yeah, we're all here. Because he thought, it'd take at least 20 minutes to sit at, to get the table ready. And so he instantly felt regret for lying. They walked out. So 2 minutes later, they get the call. "Party of 19, your table's ready." So they walk up to the Amish man, and he has to tell him. He said, "Look, we're not all here." And the Amish man looked at him, and he said, did you lie to me?" And the guy said, yeah. He's a little scared because, he didn't know if the Amish was taking him out back and flogging for lying. So he was a little concerned about what was going to happen for being truthful. And he said, yeah. He said, "I lied to you. I'm sorry, I did. I spoke an untruth." And the Amish man turned and led him back to a room in the back, opened the door. Table was set beautifully. There was bread. There was jam. The Amish man looked at him and said, "Hey, you're forgiven. Come in here. Eat some bread. You're forgiven." Jesus is about to be betrayed, deceived, murdered, sat down with people he loved in a banquet room, and he said, "Take this bread. This is my body." Now, essentially what he was saying, he said, "Have some bread. You're forgiven." Of the lies and stuff that we choose to believe, Jesus is saying to you, he's saying to me, "You are forgiven. Walk in truth. Walk in truth. Walk away from the lies and towards the truth. And we have to do that by being in this word. You cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. If you haven't read your Bible this last week, you need to do better. Okay? Get in the word. Read what Jesus is telling you. If your life is dead and you feel dead, get into this word. It is the truth. The only truth. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, that you are everything we need. God, thank you for your precious word that you have given to us, God, so that we can know truth in a culture and in a time, God, where it is as important as ever. Lord, I pray that you work in each person that's here, wherever they're at on their journey, God. If they're seeking you for the first time, God, bring people into their life, Lord. Lord, if someone's here and they're struggling, God, just bring people into their life. Bring your word, your truth, your comforter right into the middle of their mess. God, thank you so much that you love us. God, thank you so much that you lead us and that you guide us, Lord. Thank you for your truth in today's world. In Jesus' name.